Lord, impart a desire for fellowship in each of us, that we might live out our faith together in relationship, and continue to teach us from your word as to the nature of and the need for true Christian fellowship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this is the last of four sermons on this theme. I've done three of them, and Eric Wood did one of them, on the nature of and our need for Christian fellowship, our connectedness in the Lord. We had heard, this whole series was prompted by the fact we had heard from quite a few people that, that perhaps one of the weaknesses of our congregation is that people didn't feel as connected to one another as we could be. So we've just been exploring the Word of God on that issue of fellowship. It's our it's on the banner, it's our, on the wall there, our second purpose. We have five purposes as a church, and fellowship is one of them. First, I'd just like to give some summary statements based on some of the things that have been covered so far. True fellowship goes against the grain of our desire to be independent and autonomous. And it goes against the grain of our wanting to project this image of having our act all together. Connectedness and fellowship is not possible among people who do not make a commitment to it, or who allow their lives to become so busy that they start skimming relationally in the body of Christ. Connectedness and fellowship is a decision and choice to be made in obedience to God and His command to grow in love for one another in the body, which really can't happen unless we're actually with them. And true Christian fellowship and community results in transformational spiritual growth for those who are part of it and who are committed to it. And transformational spiritual growth cannot happen apart from true Christian fellowship. Now, in this last message, I want to talk about how our common experience of brokenness can lead us into community. And my text is from the Second Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. Hear the word of God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. And then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. So Paul's addressing the various hardships that he faced in ministry and his hope for deliverance from Christ, but also the importance of the fellowship of the body and the support through prayer, and helping overcome the hardships that they were going through. Well, extracting the main points here, one, suffering and brokenness are a part of everybody, are realities in everybody's life. And Christians in particular, in following Jesus, will suffer in this world in many of the same ways their Lord suffered. You know what? I wish that weren't the case. I'm interested in more fun and comfort than suffering and pain. maybe I speak for many of you, in that I get all the character building experiences I need. And one thing I want to emphasize is indeed the abundance of life and joy in knowing Christ is the greatest reality there is in life. But it is the case sometimes that it's tough going in following Jesus. And the latter part of our text today bears that out, the hardships that Apostle Paul was under, and that we too are under sometimes as we seek to follow Christ and advance his kingdom. So we need to expect that a part of following Christ will be that we need to take up our cross, just like he said, to take up our cross and in following him. Common to all of us as well, though, is our need for comfort and healing in our suffering and brokenness. And God is the source of that comfort and healing as we bring our wounds to him. And as we are comforted and healed by God, we're placed in the blessed position to be able to offer that same comfort that we have received to others who are going through the fire. And this produces the community of the broken. The community of the broken is made possible by our willingness to both share our brokenness with others and to receive the comfort and healing from the Lord within the context of our community. And that's the gist of this passage from 2 Corinthians 1. Henry Nouwen wrote in 1972 a classic book entitled The Wounded Healer, Ministry in Contemporary Society. And a wounded healer is defined this way. A wounded healer is any person who has been open and honest with others in the body about his or her struggles, has received the comfort and healing from God through community, and who then offers to others in the community the same divinely anointed comfort and healing that he or she received. And people who have, for example, been unemployed are the ones who can most effectively minister to those who are going through that at the time. People who have been depressed are those who can most effectively minister to someone who is struggling with that at the time. People who have overcome addictions are the ones who can best help those who are struggling to do that. We want a church of wounded healers. In order for that to happen to a greater and greater degree over time, we must each overcome our tendency to not want to be in the presence of people's brokenness and suffering for fear that we won't know what to say, or we won't know how to fix it, or for fear that it might dismantle our own well-built defenses against going through similar experiences ourselves. Now the community of the broken can begin to form in at least a couple of different ways. It often will begin with a few people feeling a lack of depth in their relationships, and they're feeling a desire to move from the mundane and the superficial to more personal, in-depth sharing with a spiritual, biblical base. They want to grow in God with others. If the truth were to be told, such people are feeling a sense of emptiness and lack of connectedness. So they find a couple people who feel similarly. And in trust and confidentiality, begin to be honest and open with one another about their personal issues, sharing scripture and prayer, and then following up. That can be a little intimidating if it's not something that has been a part of your experience. That kind of openness and honesty takes people into uncharted territory. But as people give it a shot and are patient with the process and with one another's quirks and weaknesses, eventually they begin to discover a genuine, authentic friendship with a couple of other people. And trust and confidentiality is in place. And these friendships are life-giving and unique from anything out there in the world. So one, that's one way the community of the broken forms, is when people who are feeling this lack of connectedness and just want to go a little deeper with people than is typical, they start meeting and do that. And in this, in that process, they learn of each other's struggles and that they're not alone in theirs. Now, another way the community of the broken can begin is when somebody in the body suffers a catastrophic loss. Say, a sudden unexpected death in the family, or a diagnosis of a terminal illness, or a disability, or an extended period of unemployment, or a divorce. And then what can happen is some people in the body become available and present to that person's suffering. They have no answers. They don't try to fix anything, but they just listen with sensitivity and with empathy. And most importantly, they're willing to make the adjustments and sacrifices in their own lives which enable them to be of emotional and spiritual and practical support in an ongoing way, maybe for years. The best case study that I've read about of this way, this particular way the community of the broken can come together is Gerald Sitzer's book, A Grace Disguised. It's a book that the Stephen Ministry Group read together over the last several months. Gerald Sitzer, some of you may be familiar with his story. He lost his mother and his wife and his daughter all at once in a car crash. A drunk driver hit their car and boom, three members of his family gone in a split second. And people in his, he's a college professor out in Washington State, was a part of it's in Spokane, Washington, and it's part of a church, First Presbyterian Church in Spokane, Washington. And there were some people who just started to come alongside him in the ways I've just been talking about. And what happened as they just came along, not trying to fix anything, or just listening, just being there, just being there. What happened over time is the group of people that came alongside him found themselves sharing not just in Gerald Sitzer's suffering, but they started to open up about some of their own sufferings as well, their own issues. And a real mutuality of the broken formed. And this fellowship of the broken resulted in their coming to love one another more deeply, and each of them finding themselves strengthened and encouraged to take command of their own lives and to move on better. It's a beautiful thing to read about, how this community formed around one man's tragic loss, but then over time a reciprocal mutual sharing of our mutual brokenness started to happen. And they had the community of the broken. So brokenness is a common experience that can lead to Christian community. It can lead to true fellowship if, in an environment of trust and confidentiality, we're willing to be honest and open with one another about the things that we're going through. The Christian faith began with brokenness, Christ's brokenness. to atone for our brokenness and bring us healing and reconciliation. Jesus is the ultimate wounded healer. And now, Jesus never wastes a hurt in us. Once he comforts and heals us through true Christian fellowship, in order that we then can bring that same comfort and healing to others. We'll be moving to the table in a moment, and a demonstration of how our faith is based on his brokenness for us, and power goes out from that table to enable us to do the same for one another. Heavenly Father, none of us like suffering one bit. We were made for paradise, which one day will come. And we want to praise you for the glimpses of heaven that you give us most every day. Yet we need your comfort and mercies in the now, whenever we are in a broken place. And we need the community of the broken then too. And may your word here in 2 Corinthians be an experienced reality as we walk together in faith with you and our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Christ's name we pray.